Document number two that was in front of you today when you sat down at the start of the meeting. Document number two, tab one, correspondence and reports. There's an ICAT report, and Dave Preble is going to lead that discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Advisory Committee to the U.S. Section to ICAT met September 15th to 16th to begin formulating the U.S. positions for the annual full commission meeting to be held in Morocco this November. The open session consisted of assessments for yellowfin and skipjack tuna, bluefin tuna, and several other species as well, but those are the ones that are of interest to us right now. The final advisory committee meeting will be held on October 26th through the 28th, in other words, in about 3 weeks. That'll begin with a public hearing on the first day, followed by 2 days of closed meetings to consider the input by members and finalize the committee advice to the U.S. delegation. New England hasn't been directly involved with this in some time, so I wanted to go over briefly the interest that New England has in this proceeding. Of the 30 species that are managed by ICAT, both swordfish and bluefin tuna have supported important fisheries in New England. In the case of bluefin tuna, the commercial ex-vessel value has been as much as $32 million per year, plus a substantial recreational component that may be equal to that. In other words, the value of the fishery has rivaled the value of the iconic groundfish fishery. So it is an important fishery, even though we don't directly manage it on the New England Council. Management of the species within U.S. waters is governed by the Atlantic Tunas Convention Act of 1975 and administered by the HMS Division of NOAA Fisheries. The Atlantic Tunas Convention Act, Section 971B, requires the establishment of an advisory committee that will include by statute representation by the New England, Mid-Atlantic, South Atlantic, Caribbean, and Gulf Fishery Management Councils. And this can be thought of as being similar, this kind of representation can be thought of as being similar to the legally mandated consultative role that the Council has taken in several recent habitat issues. And it allows New England a direct voice in the management of these species, which are of economic importance to New England. As far as action that we've taken directly on this year's bluefin tuna fishery, I did nothing and said nothing at the first meeting about positions that we might take, because it is a council position. So the action that I want to see taken today is the approval of council-endorsed positions on these ICAT-managed fisheries of importance to New England, which I'll then take back to the ICAT Advisory Committee meeting in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and forward to the Director of International Affairs of NOAA Fisheries, who is Dr. Rebecca Lent. As background information, since we haven't been directly involved with this, ICAT, since its inception in 1969, has been considered successful in managing several tuna and tuna-like species. It's been considered less successful with a few others, and has been considered spectacularly unsuccessful with both the Eastern Atlantic Mediterranean and the Western Atlantic stocks of bluefin tuna. International concerns about this prompted the proposal by the FAO in 2005 for an independent review, which is allowed under international law, of the of these regional tuna fishery management organizations. The one that was done for ICAT was released just last month, and it was a really eye-opening document. It basically praised the fundamental structure of ICAT and said that it was useful and workable. But when it came to the specifics on management of individual species, I'm going to just read this because it's a striking statement. It says, the judgment of the international community will be based largely on how ICAT manages fisheries on bluefin tuna. ICAT CPCs are the contracting parties, in other words, the members. CPCs' performance in managing fisheries on bluefin tuna, particularly in the Eastern Atlantic and Mediterranean Sea, is widely regarded as an international disgrace. And the international community, which has entrusted the management of this iconic species to ICAT, deserve better performance from ICAT than it has received to date. That's an absolutely striking statement. I've never read anything quite that strong in any fisheries document. But it goes on to say in the next paragraph, most of the problems and challenges ICAT faces would be simple to fix if the CPCs developed the political will to fully implement and adhere to the letter and spirit of the rules and recommendations of ICAT. In other words, it can be turned around. It's not a lost cause. I was afraid for some time it was, but it appears that it isn't. The problem is that there are 46 member CPCs of ICAT, which is at best unwieldy and at worst it invites corruption. And that's the milieu in which we operate. So I'd like to go over the two Atlantic bluefin tuna stocks, where they stand right now, and then lay out some options. And I'd like to, after I do that, I'd like to present a couple of, or actually three motions, possibly four motions on where the our position should lie on these fisheries. First of all, the Western Atlantic bluefin tuna, the one that we fish on. In 1998, ICAT began a rebuilding program to return the Western bluefin tuna to its maximum sustainable yield in 20 years through tack adjustments. Over the past several years, the tack has been at 2,100 metric tons, of which the U.S. share is 57.48% after a couple of reductions for longliner catches and things like that. Until recent years, actual catches have often been much higher because there's been a provision for carrying over unused quota. In fact, under the rebuilding program, it has ranged as high as 3,100 metric tons or 1,000 metric tons over the actual tack. The last assessment was this year, and the next will be in 2010. Under this assessment, the fishery is considered overfished, with overfishing occurring. The actual 2007 catch was only 1,624 metric tons. It's been reducing rapidly over the last 3 to 4 years. The U.S. catch last year was less than one half of its quota, which is the fourth straight year that we've been catching roughly one half or less of our quota. The current biological numbers, B over BMSY, is between 0.14 and 0.57. Again, this is depending upon assumptions that are made in recruitment, which isn't clear at this point. One problem is we don't have any good fishery-independent data. The biomass 2007 over the biomass in 1975 is approximately 0.25. F2007 over FMSY is between 1.27 and 2.18. It's generally considered to be close to 2, the ratio between the current F and the FMSY. The continuing failure of the U.S. particularly to catch more than a fraction of its quota might be the result of two things. It might be the result of reduced opportunity, a continued decline in the stock, or a third possibility is a combination of the two. The reduced opportunity is thought to be either a general movement to the north of the stocks, or what I think is a more likely scenario is the absolute gross overproduction of dogfish that makes it virtually impossible in U.S. waters to effectively fish for bluefin tuna. So the bottom line is we really don't know. There may be a continuing decline in the stock. There may not be. There's some thought that decline has generally been arrested by the catch being down in the 1,600 metric ton range. Canada, however, continues to catch its quota, but their fishery has become concentrated on a couple of year classes of very large breeders in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, and it's probably not sustainable. The science people stated recently that evidence is accumulating, which indicates that both the productivity of Western Atlantic bluefin and Western Atlantic bluefin fisheries are linked to the Eastern Atlantic and Mediterranean stock, and that's an important point for what we do as a council here. The committee is even more concerned about the status of the Western stock than it was a year ago, but the take-home message there is that there's a linkage between the two stocks that also has to be taken into account. In other words, a very complex question. The SCRS, the Science Committee, has recommended that the tack for the Western Atlantic stock be reduced to 1,500 metric tons or as near zero as possible. The Advisory Committee is considering nearly a dozen options for recommendations, and my take on this is that for a number of reasons that we probably should recommend, at least for the following year, the reduction of the Western Atlantic bluefin tuna attack to 1,500 metric tons. There's a couple of reasons for that. It has the advantage of reducing the likelihood that the U.S. would lose quota. Under ICAT rules, we could actually lose quota by undercatching the fish, and the Canadians are really looking with a very lascivious eye on American quota. I would like to avoid the possibility of the loss of U.S. quota, which could happen if we continue to seriously undercatch the quota that we have. So one way of dealing with that would be to reduce the attack to 1,500 metric tons, which in practical terms would not affect us since we're not catching our attack anyway. It also has another advantage. It follows a requirement that we have in the domestic fisheries under Magnuson to manage by the best available science. The best available science at this point says zero catch or 1,500 metric tons, although they don't rate it exactly the same way our people do. But that places us in, I think, a better position to negotiate management measures for the eastern stock. If we are managing by the science, then we're in a much stronger moral position in arguing that the eastern stock be managed in the same way. The other thing I'd like to see is the removal of the carryover of underharvest, which artificially inflates the TAC from year to year, and to require an immediate next season payback of any overages. And we have to bear in mind that even the negotiated tax were rarely achieved until the past 4 years when the U.S. fishery collapsed. There are two other options that we need to be aware of, but I don't think we should take action on right now. One is a provision for the time area closures in the Gulf of St. Lawrence to protect large breeders. I've been speaking with some of the Canadians, and they look at that as being a Canadian issue right now, and they may make that change themselves. So I'd like to not address that in the immediate future, but look at it as a possible a move for next year, if it still seems usable. The other thing is there's a proposal that the longline fishery in the Gulf of Mexico should have an April through June spawning closure. That would be a rational position, except that the longliners themselves understand the difficulty involved there, and they are at the present time developing a hook that will straighten out on fish over 270 pounds and release the large bluefins. I think that that's a development that we should pay attention to, and I don't want to be in the position of depressing a successful longline yellowfin tuna fishery. Unless it's absolutely necessary, and I think that it's likely that the longliners are going to be successful in developing this hook, is showing signs of success. So that's one we should hold off on now, but since it's been proposed, I think we need to have it sort of in the back of our minds for maybe future action. Going to the eastern Atlantic bluefin tuna, we have a lot of problems here. The catch reporting in the eastern tuna fisheries is very poor, especially in the Mediterranean. But total catch is estimated fairly well by international sales. Overcapacity in the Mediterranean is out of control. The number of large pur seiners in the fishery has doubled just since 2004, while the fishery has continued to collapse. The SERS recommended that the catch be held to less than 15,000 metric tons, or zero catch is what they prefer. ICAT set the 2008 TAC at 29,500, or in other words, virtually twice the scientific recommendation. But because of poor reporting, the actual catch was probably in the nature of 60,000 metric tons. The SERS is estimating that the population has declined by 15% per year since 2000 and faces imminent collapse. The numbers are really grim. B2007 over BMSY is estimated at 0.2, and the F2007 over FMSY is in excess of 3. So that's a really, really terrible condition. The U.S. doesn't fish on eastern bluefin tuna, but the continuing debacle over there affects us, since at least part of our fishery appears to be supported by cross-ocean movement of the tuna. The extent of this effect is not yet clear. But in 2007, Bill Hogarth, who was the head of the delegation, proposed the indefinite suspension, or at least for 3 to 5 year suspension, of the eastern bluefin tuna fishery throughout its range. It seems quixotic, but and it had no chance of passing, but it was the right move morally. The extent of that, the effect of that is not clear, what it would do. The proposal put us on the side of the angels, but it offered the implied threat also that our opposition to a CITES listing for bluefin tuna may be weakening. In other words, it was an implied threat there. We have a number of ways we can go, the New England Council. We can recommend continuing the 2007 proposal for an indefinite suspension of the fishery, or we can propose one or more of the following actions. One would be to increase mortality controls by time area closures in the Mediterranean, at least during the spawning months, lower the tack to 15,000 metric tons or less, increase the minimum size limits. Another thing would be to institute the recommendations that are in this 100-and-some-odd page report that the report of the independent review. They have recommendations on how ICAT can turn this around. A third would be to establish vessel quotas or national capacity quotas. And a fourth one that I think might be useful is to reapportion quota shares to nations that comply. We have too many nations that are out of compliance, and we might want to consider that as a move. And as a last recommendation, Chris Rogers of our delegation has been appointed the incoming chair of the ICAT Compliance Committee, and I think that the New England Council should draft a letter supporting his aggressive prosecution of that post. We have an opportunity here to have some effect on compliance through that. There's also a minor issue on Atlantic yellowfin tuna. I'm not sure that we want to do anything with that right now. Yellowfin and Big Eye appear to be holding their own or slightly declining, but a purse seine fishery in the Gulf of Guinea that targets small juveniles presents a recruitment threat. ICAT initiated spatial and temporal spawning closures in 2004, which should be expanded with the requirement that fish aggregating devices be removed during closures to improve compliance. We may want to recommend that, or we may want to hold off a year to see how it goes, because the numbers are not really drastically bad on yellowfin at this point. Both fisheries were down in 2008 south of New England and in the mid-Atlantic waters, but that may have been as much a result of fuel costs as a decline in the fishery. In other words, the yellowfin fishery, which is not really a major fishery for New England, is something that I think we might want to make a statement on next year. I'm not sure that we need to take it on this year, but it's something that needs to be kept an eye on because of the situation in the Gulf of Guinea. If ICAT takes proper action on that, then we may not want to do anything. But I wanted to put it in as a point of information. So having said that, I've got four motions that I want to put forward. And the first one would be that we do you want me to put these motions up, John, or okay. I'd like to move that the New England Fishery Management Council recommend that ICAT set the 2009 tack for the Western Atlantic bluefin tuna at 1,500 metric tons. That's the first motion. The other motions will deal with the carryover provisions and the rest of it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip Cunningham. Discussion. Rodney Avila.
Yeah, thank you. Dave, if we set it at 1,500 and the fishery turns around, will we be able to recapture it again?
Yes, the tack is set for a year at a time. That tack was originally set, I don't have the number in front of me, but it was set, it's gone up and down a couple of times since the rebuilding program began. It was at, I think, 2,500 at the beginning, and then it went to, I think, 2,700 or 2,800, and then down to 2,100. So it's renegotiated every year. At this point, I don't think that for this year we need, in fact, I'm sure for this year we don't need the tack, and it puts us, I think, in a better position for exerting influence on the eastern Atlantic and Mediterranean stocks. But certainly if the stock shows recovery, then that tack could be moved back up. The important thing is to hold our quota share, and I am concerned that there's a possibility that we could lose quota share if we continue to underperform and not catch. ICAT does not look favorably on that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that was part of my question. If we went down and lowered our tack and the Canadians were looking for our quota share. And
the Canadians what?
You stated that the Canadians were looking for our quota share. If they took it, would we ever be able to get it back again?
That's unlikely. If they took a quota share, theoretically we could get it back, but the problem is that they develop history, and as you know, that becomes very hard to break.
That's correct. Yep.
Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the recreational catch is a percentage of the overall tack, and the rec catch has been catching their quota lately, so if this quota goes down by that much, won't the rec catch drop dramatically?
The rec catch is set at 10%. I'm not talking about the giant bluefin catch. I'm talking about the smaller catch. It's set at 10% of the tack. That's a question I hadn't considered. I would say yes, it probably would. Yeah.
So they've been achieving their tack. It's the commercial tack that hasn't been reached, and they're going to take a huge reduction if this motion was to be passed. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? We'll go to the audience. Oh, sorry, Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I attended the ICAT meeting with David, and for the record, I have been asked to serve on behalf of the five councils representing them, so I'm very anxious to hear what this council decides to do. Dave may be right. Ultimately, we'll probably settle at 1,500 metric ton. The problem is taking one fell swoop to go from 1,624 down to 1,500. It doesn't leave you any room for negotiating. And I think the biggest concern is that once you say we're there, because we're going to set the example again, we've lost that opportunity. As most of you are aware, the bluefin, the large giants have moved up into the Gulf of St. Lawrence, and Canada's doing a good job in prosecuting them. The problem is that they will go after our quota, and they will get it. The other problems we're facing, the overall scheme of things, there's a major problem with the eastern bluefin tuna group in that any time we reduce or give, the U.S. gives these other folks an opportunity to gain quota, they take it. And no matter how much compliance we have tried so far to put on them, basically it's fallen on deaf ears. And I agree with David. We need to make a heavy recommendation that Chris Rogers does get the support of this group, because he is going to be the ICAT compliance committee. But back to the motion, it just seems to me to take and just make a black and white motion to go to 1,500 without any caveats in there. I think we do our fishermen and council a disservice. My pitch next week at the Mid-Atlantic is going to be that we look at trying to stay the course for the 1624 and use that as a bargaining chip. But ultimately, knowing we have to go to 1,500, it gives us some flexibility. Relative to Rodney's concern about the recreational, someone there said recreational percentage, it's 10% of the total quota, went from 8% to 10%. And by and large, in the Mid-Atlantic, we aren't catching them anyway. They're catching some in North Carolina. The fish obviously have moved along the coast. We may not be feeling any real hurt by going to 1,500 for the near foreseeable future. If these fish start to come back, we've cut our nose off despite our face. We've not only attacked our U.S. fishery from an economic point of view, but we've also attacked commercial and also the recreational. And I do think maybe a sentence in there that gives ICAT, the advisory panel, or the delegation, a little flexibility, and I'm not sure how you would word it, but I think something might want to be considered along the lines of, we would prefer to support the 1624 metric ton, and then with a language, a sentence supporting that. However, we leave it up to the discretion of the U.S. delegation to have the flexibility to go to the 1500 if being used as a bargaining tool. At least that would be my sense on it. All the rest of the information that David presented was right on target. You got everything very clear. There was no fuzz in it. The report speaks for itself. Of the options, we talked about New England Fishery Management Council recommending continuing the 2007 proposal for a closure of the fishery or go with any of the following. The following seem to be a little more flexible and give us some more latitude. The problem with going with a 2000, looking at the CITES and locking into shutting down that fishery completely, we're out of the conversation. The minute the U.S. puts that statement on the table, we have nothing to negotiate with or even talk about. So we're cut out of that discussion. So in regards to what David put down here as options, I like all of them, David. I think they give us a little more flexibility. So at least that's my assessment of where we are and where we're going. And I truly would like to have a copy of the letter that we send out in any position that we take here at the New York Council. And I'll be talking with David throughout the whole time we'll meet at our next meeting to firm up the New Orleans position along with the other councils. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Pat's point on the 1624. 1624 was the actual 2007 catch. When I spoke to Rebecca Lint yesterday, her sense of it was that if the council approves 1500, that in fact improves her negotiating ability, because that indicates a willingness to go to 1500, and indicates that if she negotiates it a little higher than that, that it gives her more strength in her negotiation, which was her point. She was very much in favor of seeing us, from her standpoint as a negotiator, go to the 1500. We're probably going to wind up there anyway. And for the New England Council to endorse it, actually, she felt that gave her a stronger hand in the negotiation.
You got David, then Rodney.
Yeah, I'm listening to this back and forth. I'm uncomfortable with putting a number up there. I basically don't like doing my negotiating strategy in public. And I agree with what Pat said. If you put a number up there and everybody knows you'll go to that anyway, you've basically tied both hands behind your back. And I don't know how to correct this wording to say that. I mean, I would like to have something that says, you know, maybe we, again, anything that puts a number up there in public is, to me, handcuffs your negotiators. And I don't know how to fix it. I would like to say something along the lines of we give them the ability to negotiate a quota, period. You know, something that vague. And obviously there's been a discussion that's reflected in the public record here that quota might be smaller. But, you know, saying it right up front, anybody that is a member of ICAT that doesn't support the U.S. position says, well, hell, they'll already do this anyway. So what are we worried about?
Rodney.
Yeah, I kind of agree with David. After negotiating several divorces, once you put it up on the table, really, of course, you never get it back.
Anyone else on the council? Dave?
Yeah, this might be more acceptable if we put something up there like no higher than 1500. The idea here is to establish the principle that these fisheries need to be managed as we now do with Magnuson, according to the science. And the science is saying as close to zero as possible, but no higher than 1500. So perhaps we could just change the wording to say
lower.
Oh, we could do that. Yeah, that's okay too.
Paul Howard.
Dave, you mentioned we'll use the 1,500 tons reduction from U.S. fishermen to give leverage to fix a huge problem with the eastern. You know, they're overbite, there's no monitoring, there's no landings. Has the group talked about any other type of leverage? It appears to me it's risky to use our fish long term to solve a problem that we're not fishing on that stock. I know it's got impact on our stock, on the western stock, but why use our fish and our future fishery as leverage when there might be something else to use through the State Department?
The idea right now is that we don't know how much political force this report will have, but it's a very strong piece of work. And it was done under the sanction of the UN. And if we're ever going to make a move to repair the situation in the East, this is the time to do it. Because they state right in here, and there are a whole lot of recommendations in here that go very deeply into how ICAT functions. They say that, as I pointed out before, most of the problems and challenges ICAT faces would be simple to fix if, and then it goes on to how. So the idea here is that we try to give the American Negotiating Committee as much leverage as they can to go into the negotiations saying that it's our position that the eastern stocks have got to be managed by the science. And until that happens, then the fishery is basically screwed anyway. So we need to make some kind of a strong statement, and we don't have a whole lot of leverage. So we have to have the moral high ground, I think, is what we need to have here. And it doesn't cost us anything because we're not catching that tack anyway. So if the fishery begins to rebound, then we have the ability to raise the tack on a year-by-year basis.
I've got Rip Cunningham.
Thank you, and I would ask the maker of the motion, since we're in the process of perfecting this, listening to the discussion that's gone on, I would like to see, first of all, the removal of the word that ICAT set, those two words, and that the U.S. delegation to ICAT negotiate the 2009 TAC for Western Atlantic bluefin tuna at no lower than 1,500. Set should be negotiated.
Frank Pump.
See, I just want to remind again, it was said that we're not catching the tack. The wrecks are catching the tack. The wreck catch is going to go down, if I see this, by 25% in one of the most regulated fisheries that we have. They achieve the tack every year.
Roddy?
Yeah, this will be my last comment because I know I'm probably going to annoy everybody. We've been the Boy Scouts of the Western Atlantic since I can remember ICAT. We've given everything but our trousers away. And that's no indication that they're going to comply. They have never complied with any ICAT rules as long as I've been in the fishery. And I started it in 1957.
So it's your fault. Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Dave, could you, maybe a little dense this morning, but can you re-explain the rationale for a position of strength of coming in at 1,500? It just seems counterintuitive to me to be putting a number lower than last year's landings.
The way the scientists work with ICAT is that they give you a range and expected outcomes within that range. And the 1,500 is the point at which we are expected to get long-term recovery. Anything above that doesn't do it. In order to effect a recovery within the next 10 years of the rebuilding program, you really have to be very close to zero. But they have indicated that the 1,500 metric tons does give you a slow recovery. Whether that actually happens or not, I have my doubts. But that's what the science says, and it's just the question here is to try to bring the tack in line with what the science indicates is the correct place to be. To answer Rodney's question, I would agree that ICAT is probably the only organization in the world that's more corrupt than the Rhode Island State Legislature.
All right. go to the audience. Rich, please introduce yourself.
Lunar Association. Let me agree with Pat that I think Dave's introduction and sort of description of the process was very accurate at how the process works. But I think he's got several misimpressions. One, the TAC is not set every year. It's set only after the stock assessment. And typically the stock assessment is held every 2 years, but there are times when it can be longer than that. I wanted to back up Frank's point. The recreational allocation is about 20%, I believe, of the U.S. quota. And he's absolutely right. If there's a 25% hit, the recreational fishery is going to be hurt. And in the last few years, our recreational fishery in New England here has literally exploded in Cape Cod Bay. And it's not only equal to the $32 million fishery that the commercial fishery once was, it dwarfs the value of the economic fishery in terms of the effort. Dave mentioned that there's the SCRS recommendation for 1,500 metric tons. I've scoured the assessment, and there isn't a specific recommendation for 1,500. There's a series of alternatives. The only specific recommendation from SCRS is that we don't increase the quota to 2,400 metric tons. He's also not correct that some of the higher numbers, like the existing status quo, which we're not catching, do eventually get you to rebuilding. It just takes a longer period of time than otherwise. I also agree with Dave Gethel when he says, you know, it's not good to negotiate now and let everybody know what your position is going to be when you're going into a room with 45 other countries. It's best, and we always try to keep it secret until we get to ICAT exactly what our position is going to be, and then the U.S. delegation cuts the best deal it can while we're there. So I don't know. This is Rebecca's first year as chairman, and I'm not sure she's going to have full agreement with the ICAT Advisory Committee when we get back there on the 26th of October and start discussing what the U.S. strategy should be. You know, we're not supporting the reduction down to 1,500 metric tons because we still have the gross problem of what's going on in the east. We still have leakage. We have 30% of the western fish that cross that line and that are subject to mortality. What history shows us is every time we've taken a hit in the West, eastern catches and catch per unit effort goes up, and it goes up substantially. So what you're doing is you're basically subsidizing at least the eastern Atlantic fishery, if not the Mediterranean fishery. It appears that our fish, our giants in particular, don't go into the Mediterranean, but they certainly swim across the 45-degree boundary line, and certainly our small fish feed into the Bay of Biscay bait boat fishery, which we know from historical tagging data. So I would hope the council would not support any specific TAC, but basically recommend, as has been U.S. policy, that we follow the science as we interpret the science when we get to the meeting. Thanks a lot.
Rich, if I could just ask you a question. I know you've been involved in ICAT issues for a long time, and I'm not familiar with how the decision is made between recreational and commercial within or domestically. And I know I hear Rodney's point, and it's something I've heard for a while about, you know, the U.S. isn't capturing its quota. We're at risk of losing it to another member nation. Is there a mechanism available domestically to transfer fish from commercial to recreational? We're hearing about an explosion in the recreational fishery. We're concerned about losing the domestic quota in the ICAT negotiations. And we know that the commercial fishery has had some troubles as of late. I know there's some developing gear technology which may open up grounds that are closed right now. But is there a mechanism, isn't there something we could do domestically to transfer fish within a year so that we don't face that risk?
Yes. We have full, NIMS has full authority to utilize the reserve and make in-season transfers and also take quota from categories that are not using their quota and transfer it to those categories. The only limitation on the recreational fishery is the 10% that Dave referenced. That 10% is for fish under 30 kilograms. We're prevented by the ICAT agreement specifically from allowing more than 10% of our quota being caught in fish under 66 pounds. Outside of that, for the scoop, for the mediums and the large mediums, there is no limit on that. Well, there's a total quota, but we can transfer quota into that category, which is a big part of the recreational fishery.
Okay, thanks, Rich. Anyone else in the audience? Tom Osmus. From the great nation of Martha's Vineyard.
Thank you, John. I thought your question was well directed about utilizing maybe some of the recreational and the commercial, but also that you may be able to get closer to the commercial catch by perhaps lowering the size slightly so that the fish doesn't have to be 6 feet big before you can sell it. A shrinkage in the commercial size limit may enable some of these commercial vessels to actually gain back some of what we're not getting anymore as far as the use of the quota. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion to substitute. I just got to get it over to Karen. I got it written. And the motion would read that the council recommends to the U.S. delegation follow the science in setting member quotas in 2009.
Is there a second on the motion to substitute, seconded by Rodney Avila? Any further discussion on the motion to substitute? You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Thirteen opposed, abstentions, one abstention. Now it's the main motion. Anything further on the main motion as substituted? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Thirteen opposed, abstentions, one abstention. The motion carries 13-0, one abstention. Dave, you have any other motions?
Yes, I do. I'd like to move that the New England Fishery Management Council recommend that ICAT remove the carryover of under-harvest of Western Atlantic bluefin tuna and require an immediate next season payback of overages.
Is there a second? Seconded by Sally McGee. Discussion? Dave Gaethel.
Question for Dave Frebel. Why only Western tuna? Why not just all of them? Or I suppose it doesn't matter. They over-harvest so much in the east, they never under-harvest anything. But it appears to be, once again, we're pinning ourselves down on this side of the Atlantic and ignoring the other side.
Actually, the perpetual massive over-harvest in the east is why I didn't think of that. I think it's a good change. Yeah, why not just say remove the word Western. Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, if by some freak of nature, you know, they actually under-harvested something once, it would be nice to not have them go out there and harvest twice as much the next year or whatever.
Is that considered a friendly second or agree? Okay. Anything further from the council? Paul Howard?
So this is similar to our accountability measure. So it would seem to me that you wouldn't put an accountability measure on one group of the whole plan. So if you're going to address accountability measures similar to domestic law, you've got to make it for the whole fishery, not just for one part of it.
Yeah, I agree. It was an oversight on my part. I'm glad of the change.
Okay, anything further from the council? Go to the audience. Rich?
Rich Rearway with East Coast Tuna. Again, for the benefit of the council, the current ICAT agreement already has a requirement that overages be paid back, and there is a specific schedule. And each species recommendation is a little bit different. Also, on the carryover of underharvest, at the last meeting, we put in a 50% cap of the base quota. That's the maximum that can be rolled over into future seasons. You know, with highly migratory species, there are events that can occur that in a given year can prevent a country from catching its quota. We've never heard from the scientists that you know, rolling over has reached a serious point, and they've never recommended that we do away with that capability. It provides us with flexibility if we have a bad year to make it up the following year, and it puts a conservation restriction on it on 50%. So, again, the industry won't be supporting elimination of the carryover. Thanks.
Anything further from the audience? Back to the council. Frank Blount.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stern. Dave, just what would happen here if two countries, I'll use U.S. and Canada, if U.S. is under and Canada is over, but Canada is over by enough that the entire quota was exceeded, is the intent here that the U.S. could still roll over their quota?
I didn't follow it, Frank.
If the entire quota was exceeded, but an individual member nation was under quota, would they be allowed to carry their quota forward?
Under the current rule?
Under this motion.
Under this motion, they to carry forward their underages you're talking about, they would not be allowed to do so.
Okay. And currently they would be allowed even though you exceeded the quota?
Up to, as Rich pointed out, 50%. Of their quota.
Anything further from the council? You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Put your hands up, please. One more time. All those in favor. 7. Opposed? 5 abstentions. 2 abstentions. The motion carries 7-5 with 2 abstentions. Dave?
All right. My next motion was, I think I'm going to put it out and see what happens. I have two motions that are alternates. The first one is I'll move that the New England Fishery Management Council recommend that the Eastern Atlantic bluefin tuna fishery be indefinitely suspended. In other words, following along with what we did last year. I just want to see how that, what the council thinks of that.
Is there a second?
7.
Sally McGee. Discussion on the motion. Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, practically what does this do other than get everybody in the east to just slam the door in our face? I don't understand what it does from a negotiating position if it's helpful or not.
Yeah, I'm ambivalent about this one. I put it out there because it was the U.S. position last year, and I just wanted to test the waters and see what the council thought of continuing that as the policy for the coming year.
Roddy.
Yeah, this is a question for David. If it was the U.S. position last year, where did we get with it?
It went nowhere.
You get 61,000.
It was. It went nowhere. We wound up with 61,000 metric tons taken. Yeah.
Sally.
Okay, so they went twice over what they should have. So are we going to remain quiet on it? Are we going to say, shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well? I mean, I don't necessarily think that this is going to fly this year, but I think it's important for this council to be saying that what's going on in the Med has a lot to do with what's happening with the fishery over here, and we're not just going to turn a blind eye because there are fundamentally different approaches to fishery management or fishery mining, as the case may be, in the Mediterranean at this point. So, realistic or not, as far as an ultimate outcome from the negotiation, I think this is the right way for us to be going.
Paul Howard.
We had a motion to follow the science. Is the science in the Eastern say zero fishery? Or does it say something less?
The science says that the fishery in the Eastern Atlantic should be as close to zero as possible. It should be zero, basically, is what they said, but not to exceed 15,000 metric tons. They don't give the same kind of precise answers that we expect to get from our scientists. They always give you a range, as Rich Ray pointed out. They never say, this is what it should be. They give you a range.
Anything further? Dave Gaethel?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it on the record. I think ICAT will be ineffective until the U.S. government takes much stronger steps to ensure compliance. Basically, that means trade sanctions against countries that are over their quotas and routinely run them over and just see this as, there was a wagger once called ICAT, the International Committee to Catch All Tunas. And that's basically how most of these countries in the Mediterranean region view it. And that's because there's no teeth in anything they do. You know, and so we can recommend this, but I don't think it's got any power at all. I think it's a waste of verbiage myself. I think if you want to recommend something, you recommend that the United States consider trade sanctions against countries that go over their quotas. Then you'd be recommending something that might actually get something done and get people's attention. Probably get us somebody here from the State Department in pretty short order anyway.
Anything further from the council? Rich.
Rich Reway. I didn't see anywhere, Dave, in the stock assessment where it says that the scientists are recommending that the TAC be as close to zero as possible. What they've been saying consistently for the last two stock assessments is that Eastern Atlantic TAC should be no more than 15,000 metric tons. And I think Dave's point is the consistent one to say that the recommendation in my mind should be that we should be recommending that they follow the scientific advice, whatever that happens to be. One other point I wanted that I forgot to make earlier was you said that you didn't think the Canadian fishery was sustainable. In fact, there's a statement in the stock assessment that suggests that some of the scientists are interpreting the booming fishery in Canada as the beginning signs of recovery. So I guess that there can be different views on whether or not it's sustainable, but some scientists believe it's the beginning of recovery.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Anything further? Dave Preble.
Thank you. Yeah, just one quick thing on that. Reading these stock assessments from ICAT is a trial. Anybody who's done it would go along with that. I've got a copy with me here of the 2006 Bluefin stock assessment, and it's rough going. The scientists, what I am basing what I said on was the 2008 assessment, which I have not seen, but based upon what the SERS member that was at the meeting 2 weeks ago said, and what he said in private discussions as far as what they think should happen. And I did make one error that I want to correct. Rich is quite right that the TAC is set on the two-year assessments. And as I did point out, the assessment was done this year, 2008, and is another assessment in 2010, at which time the TAC can change again.
Dr. Sissonwine, did you want to make a comment? Press the button.
Thank you. If you think reading the documents is tough, you ought to be sitting in the room for 2 weeks and try and write them. It is a challenge because of a whole bunch of issues associated with ICAT science. I have not actually reviewed the SERS report from a couple of weeks ago, so I can't say definitively what it says. I was involved in the assessment meeting, which provided the input to it. And Rich is correct that the message was about 15,000 tons, not specifically zero. What I actually wanted to comment on is more related to the basis of the U.S. statement last year calling for the term that was used, calling for a moratorium in the East. It really wasn't specifically addressed at the issue of the TAC relative to the scientific advice. In my view, it was more a reflection of the frustration with the failure to implement and enforce regulations in the East. So I think one can be consistent and say, support the scientific advice without stating a specific number, as you've already done, and also make comments, if you chose to, about the fishery in the East in the context of basically this statement suspending the fishery until such time as there's evidence that the management regulations adopted by ICAT will actually be implemented and enforced. So they are two different issues. I'm not making a recommendation on what you should do, but I would express them as different concerns with respect to the situation in the East.
Thank you.
Anything further from the council? Dave.
Can I have a minute to add I would like to add a clause to this. I just need to write it out.
While we're waiting for that, any further comments? Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that Sally made a good point that we can recommend this as a council because it is what would be best for New England, and we are speaking for what would be best for New England. And frankly, it would be best for New England if there were a moratorium on the eastern bluefin tuna fishery. The next motion was going to be a list of measures that are in the information sheet that I handed out. And I think that we could approve that as well. I don't see that they are mutually exclusive.
Is that your language, Dave?
Yes, I'd like to make this as a friendly if possible, but if not, I'll do it as people see fit. I'll just read it into the record that the council recommend that the eastern bluefin tuna fishery be indefinitely suspended until mandatory compliance measures are instituted by ICAT nations.
Is it accepted as friendly from the maker and seconder? Okay. Friendly amendment. Anything further on the Dave Preble?
Yeah, I think to go along with that the word indefinitely could be eliminated from the sentence and it would make more sense.
Okay. That's correct, yeah, because it would be until a time certain.
Glad we got wordsmiths here. Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Twelve. Opposed? Abstentions? Two abstentions. The motion carries 12-0. Two abstentions. You got one more, Dave?
Yeah, I think I think that this makes my last motion moot. The perfection, I think, takes care of the issue in my last motion. But as a last recommendation, I think that this council should send a strong letter to National Marine Fisheries Service that we support Chris Rogers as the chairman of the incoming chairman of the ICAT Compliance Committee, and that we support his aggressive prosecution of that post. I don't have wording for it, but I think a letter along those lines is something that this council should be sending. It goes along directly with what we just approved.
Unless the council wants to go through a formal motion process, I don't have a problem putting that letter together and sending it down to headquarters, unless there's objection. Any objection? Okay. That concludes this agenda item. We're going to break for lunch. We have a SSC report at 1:15 and then the Scallop Committee report at 2:15, so be back in an hour. For those that want to eat here, which is the report from the Science and Statistical Committee,